I just have to start here. You all look so good from up here. I am glad that the days are over when we all had to put on our Sunday best every Sunday, but Easter is different, and you all look just so beautifully turned out. My grandparents came from England and somehow decided to wind up in Michigan in the midst of the Depression. They were astonishingly frugal people, but every Easter, my grandfather would go from the office that he worked in downtown Lansing to the big department store, and he would go to the discount rack and buy an Easter dress for my grandmother and take it home. And then a very predictable scene would unfold. The giving, the unveiling, the protest, the moral lesson about the dangers of profligacy, the trying on, the praise and accolades from my mother and her siblings, the retreat, the making up. Every year. I suppose that may have something to do with why there were 8 of them. Easter. Easter is our day to strut. It is our day to do it upright. Yesterday, there were 12 people around this place, inside and outside, getting everything just right. The gardens, the shrubs, the trees, the books in the pews, the brass, the flowers, all of it just for you. Because today is our day. Easter is our day to shine. The whole project is about today. The message of this day, the point of this day, we live on for the whole rest of the year. If you are only here on this one day of the year, well, you're missing out on a lot of fun, but you really are in the right place at the right time. The whole claim of the Christian faith, to have something new to offer the world. The whole idea that in the Christian story there is something we have learned about the nature of God, the purposes of God, the plan of God to change all of history behind us and all of the possibilities ahead of us, all of that comes down to Easter Day. So we really should be at our best today. We really should shine up our shoes and put on the special necklace or whatever it is you do for a special date. So, here's the conundrum. Why on earth should anybody pity us today? Remember that first line from the second lesson, that strange thing from St. Paul, the very first writer that we could call Christian. This morning, we get to read some of his mail, a part of a letter he wrote to one of the churches he started, and in it there's this bizarre idea that instead of going out into the Easter parade, we should be in an Easter pity party. I used one of my favorite translations to help get this point across this morning, one produced in the 1950s by J.B. Phillips. Let me just slightly amend how he renders this line to make the point sharper. Here is what Paul writes in his language. Truly, if your hope in Christ is limited only to this life, you should of all people be the most to be pitied. Or we could render this in the somewhat more contemporary translation of the New Testament given by that renowned biblical scholar, Mr. T. I pity the fool. I pity the fool who decides to be a Christian just for this life. Look, friends, here is a basic fact about us. All of us want to be part of something bigger than ourselves. That is an essential thing about humans. We want a vision. We want a purpose. And we want to be part of something that is growing, gaining, and going forward. We want to be part of something that other people will follow, if only so that when they join, we will have the satisfaction of having been here first. But more important than that, we want to be on the winning team. That is something very, very deep in our nature. And it makes us great at working together. But the bad news is, it will make us chase after all kinds of things that will do us no good, just because we get caught up in the excitement. It can be political movements or Ponzi schemes or pet rocks. We want to sign on for something that looks like the next big thing. That's what Paul is writing about. There are a lot of good reasons to be part of the Christian movement, and friends, understand this, it is a movement. It is still a movement. But being part of something that's going to win you favors and privileges out in the world, not likely. It was not always this way. Most of us have lived through not just Christianity, but Christendom. Christendom was when the shops did not open on Sunday. Remember that? And everyone got Good Friday off. Christendom was when all your neighbors belonged to different churches and you could all compare notes with each other about your church in polite company. Christendom was when the culture around us was a tailwind behind us on our way to church on Sunday morning. You probably don't need me to tell you, but those days are over. Being an out Christian is not a guaranteed way to be accepted in all the right clubs anymore. Being an Easter person is not a way of getting an upgrade anymore. Just look at the lovely gift the city of Newton has given us for Holy Week and Easter. Right along Lowell Avenue. Being a Christian, even being a church, does not get you special treatment these days. For which I say, thank God. Thank God, because now we can finally get back to what this is really all about. This is about the idea that there is something beyond this life, something more important, more real, and a heck of a lot more urgent. This world comes down to stuff. Stuff that wears out, breaks, falls down, or burns up. The Christian vision sees what is substantial, what is eternal, what is lasting, because it sees the possibility of the spiritual behind the illusion of the cheap stuff. This world comes down to what you own and what you owe. It comes down to what you have and what has you. The Christian vision says that no matter what you have and what you lack, you are sacred. Sacred. Can you believe it? You are sacred. A thing that has no price and is the most worthy thing about you. If we don't get that, then we are surely to be pitied. Because the greatest treasure we have in this place, in this community, in this amazing idea of the faith, is something we are all missing. Now, please do not get me wrong. Easter is not just about the hereafter, and the Christian faith is not just about pie in the sky when you die. If you carry only one idea out of here today with you, let it be this. The Christian faith is about the possibility of changing the reality around us because of the hope ahead of us. So being a part of the church may not be, at least not anymore, being a part of the thing that everyone does just because we're expected to do it. It may not be something we know everyone will like us for doing, but being a part of this group of people is being a part of a movement of a community just crazy enough to know that there is something else beyond this veil of tears, something beyond the tragedy and the turmoil and the terror we see around us every day. Being a part of this movement is being a part of a group of people you may not always understand and you will surely not always like, but who together have the collective power to change this world for the better because of what we finally cannot deny about the power of God's love to preserve and empower that in each of us that is sacred. So now let me give you a little advice. When you leave here this morning looking the way you do, they are all going to be looking at you. Wherever you are going next, to your brunch reservation or to your sister's for lunch, wherever it is, they are going to have their eyes on you. They will know that you have been here. Even Jeff Barrel, who read the first lesson, is wearing a tie on a Hawaiian shirt, but it's a tie. And those people are going to be looking for signs. They're going to be looking to see whether there is something different about you. Something, I don't know, strange or something. And there is something different about you. You have the possibility of hope with which to confront the problems of today. It is not that you do not see those problems, or don't know the sorrows, or don't have the fears and the tears that everyone else does, but you have something more. You have the knowledge that God has acted in all of this for you. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to know why. Hope is not proof. If it were, it wouldn't be hope. So when they ask you how you are, don't give them proof. Give them hope. Confound them with the audacity of your hope. How are you? The Christian answer is not, "Oh, I'm okay." Or, "Oh, I'm getting along." The Christian answer is, "I flourish. Great things have been done for me, and great things are expected of me. I may be full of mistakes and fears, but I am sacred. Everyone else may have the data on how bad things are, but these friends of mine and I, we are going to change the data. Because we have the capacity to believe in audacious things, human dignity, the power of compassion, and even empty graves." Amen.